You're listening to the Coconut Avenue Radio and Podcast Network.
Welcome to Out There on the Edge of Everything, the show that examines, helps you understand, and effectively deal with the interesting edges of life. Broadcasting now from the virtual C344 studios overlooking the edge of Coconut Avenue is your host, award-winning and best-selling author, Dr. Stephen Lesovich.
Hi, this is Dr. Stephen Lesovich out there on the edge of everything. This episode is entitled Interview with Dr. Jane Wright. Today, I'm very excited to be speaking again with Dr. Jane Wright, a board-certified orthodontist from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and author of a new children's book. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Dr. Lesovich. Happy to be with you again.
Dr. Wright, you have a new mission for your dental practice. What is your new mission?
My mission is dentistry 3.0, where I want to help people be proactive in preventing dental decay, caring for their own mouths, instead of being reactive in the issues once they've already arisen.
Dr. Wright, to accomplish your mission of Dentistry 3.0, you need to be a leader, an educator, and be very active in your community. Let's talk a little bit about your background.
You are a board-certified orthodontist in private practice. Tell us a little bit about your orthodontic practice.
Yes, well, my dad started the practice in 1985, and he practiced alone for almost 27 years before I joined him in 2011. And we practice pretty much side by side. There are a couple days that one of us will go to our satellite office in Paddock Lake, but our main office is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And Wednesdays is our day together. We share all of our patients. We have a very similar, if not the same, treatment philosophy. And he and I just work really well together. I think it's a good compliment. You know, not all father, daughter, parent, child teams work well. And so I feel very fortunate to be able to work with my dad.
This past year, you received a very prestigious honor. You were appointed to the College of Diplomates of the American Board of Orthodontics. What is the College of Diplomates of the American Board of Orthodontics?
Yes, well, it really was an honor. I mean, I was blown away that I was asked to join the Council of the College of Diplomates. What the college is it's a group of board-certified orthodontists, and it allows us all to come together at an annual meeting for scientific lectures, continuing education, but also the camaraderie and the social aspect of it. So as a group, we promote our board certification to other orthodontists. We help to teach certification courses and get people prepared to take the exam. But it's just kind of helping to elevate our profession to a higher level of excellence.
What are some of your leadership duties on the College of Diplomates of the American Board of Orthodontics?
Well, as I progress up the ranks, I'm going to help plan meetings and find scientific speakers. At the moment, I'm in charge of teaching the American Board of Orthodontics renewal course. So certification, we all have to recertify every 10 years. And I just completed my recertification in October, and there was no recertification course for orthodontists to know what was on the exam or to refresh their memory on the exam materials. So I am in charge of creating the prep course and teaching it. So I'll be teaching it in Savannah at our annual meeting next month, and then also at the AAO, the American Association of Orthodontics meeting, which is in Louisiana in May. So I'll probably be in charge of teaching that prep course until I find a partner or somebody to teach it with me. But I also advocate for board certification. I was just at Marquette yesterday speaking to the residents about how important board certification is.
And speaking of Marquette, you are on the faculty of the School of Dentistry at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Marquette is the only dental school in the state of Wisconsin, and you just celebrated your 10th anniversary teaching at Marquette. Congratulations. Tell us a little bit about some of your teaching responsibilities at Marquette.
Thank you. Yeah, for the most part, I am a clinical instructor, so I help the residents treatment plan new cases, and I help them with wire bending skills, case management. But I also lecture most lunch hours when I'm there from noon to one. So I'll go up in the morning and I'll do clinical instruction in the morning, and then I'll lecture over the lunch hour on anything from biomechanics of tooth movement. Yesterday I lectured on growth and development, but sometimes I'll talk about staff management, business issues, anything that, they might not learn hands-on in residency, some outside bigger scope to orthodontic practice issues.
There's an old saying, teaching starts with reaching. What techniques do you use to reach, engage, and teach the new dental students you teach at Marquette?
Well, it can be hard for me to pivot from being a very decisive person and in charge of the case in my own clinical practice to taking a step back and letting the residents really think about it on their own. And that's been a bit of a challenge for me, where I just need to give them space to think and work through the case on their own, because the last thing I would want is for them to not understand why they're doing things, just, doing them because their instructors are telling them to. So I'm really trying to encourage them to think on their own and challenge, their treatment modalities and ask them why they're doing what they're doing so that they'll be better orthodontists.
Now, many people consider you an alpha female. An alpha female is defined as a woman who has embraced her leadership ambitions. She is talented, highly motivated, self-confident, and a leader in her chosen profession. What makes you an alpha female?
Well, thank you for calling me that. I mean, I'm flattered by that. Maybe not everybody would be, but I do think I'm an ambitious person and highly motivated. But personally, I mean, I'm never satisfied with enough. Like, I never feel like I'm done. And that's part of what drives me and what makes me happy. I'm really the happiest when I'm being productive. I just don't sit down well, and like, I'm not good at relaxing. That's actually where I find my joy, and I suppose the benefit is then I get a lot of stuff done. But that's what makes me happy.
Now, we all have different leadership styles. How would you describe your own leadership style as an alpha female?
I think it really starts with treating everyone the way that you want to be treated, which is kind of the golden rule that we were taught as children. As adults, I think it's important, to treat each other with respect and kindness. And it's hard to expect respect from my team and my staff if I'm not treating them the same way. So I really try to listen and be there for them. Also, I like to address issues head on. So, if there was a staff and interstaff issue, I have to be direct about it, but also kind and respectful. But being, passive aggressive or gossiping, none of that is productive in the workplace. So I've actually taken some classes on leadership. I took a Wharton, a mini MBO course. They called it Mastering the Business of Orthodontics through Wharton. And I learned an awful lot through that on leadership and just practice management.
Speaking of your practice, your dental practice has 18 female employees that range in age from their 20s to their 50s. What are some of the biggest challenges you face managing 18 other women?
Well, fortunately, we're not all there at the same time, because that would be a lot of women all together working together in a small office environment. We have a lot of part-timers, which works well for the moms. A lot of us are mothers, and so we try to be very family-oriented, and we respect, what's going on with other people's children or families. But, sometimes people will have personality differences. There are generational differences. Things sometimes go on at home that are brought to work. And we just really try to remind everybody that if you are having an issue with somebody, either address it, or you've got to let it go. You can't bring these issues to work and harbor any kind of frustration. Something that I've kind of taught them too is sometimes it's really, if you're having an issue with a coworker or something's going on, sometimes it's really not you, it's them. They might be having a hard time at home or stressed about something or something bigger, and you've just got to let it go and focus on work.
How has managing those 18 female employees in your dental practice made you a better leader?
Well, I think I've become a better leader because I'm learning to also let it go. I try to be a better listener, and I think sometimes people just need to vent. They just want to be heard. They don't necessarily expect you to solve the problem. They just want to talk about it. But I read a really interesting book recently called Build the Life You Want: The Art and Science of Getting Happier. and it was written by Arthur C. Brooks. And I picked up a lot of really good tidbits for managing issues, both, you know, in the workplace and at home. It just kind of goes into all of that, you know, be a good listener and even not engaging in inner office gossip. You know, if somebody tells you something, do not turn around and repeat it. And it creates an unhealthy work environment.
Speaking of your home, you're also married, your husband's a professional, and you have 5 children. How do you personally keep a good balance between your personal life and your professional life?
Well, my friends joke with me that I have JOMO, which is the joy of missing out, because I say no to things. You know, if our kids want to play 5 sports each, it's like that's just not physically going to work. We place a big emphasis on our family time, and we try to make family dinners a priority, even if that means we're eating at 4 o'clock. Which actually it's probably healthier to eat earlier. You know, we try to sit down, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes, and then the kids will go off to their activities or do homework. We really try to connect and not always be going a million miles an hour. And it's so easy to get caught up in that with what everyone else is doing. You know, everybody's on the travel soccer team or everybody's doing competitive baseball. And it's okay to say no to things and to prioritize, you know, free time and play time and family time. And so that's what we try to do. We try to have a nice balance between work and being together and relaxing.
Other than eating at 4 p.m., describe a typical day in the Wright household.
Well, my alarm goes off at 5:30, and I have about a half an hour to get ready before I wake up the kids at 6. Then we have an hour of eating, packing school bags. I take them to school at 7. And then I continue on to work, and my husband does the same. He can work from home most days, but sometimes he has to go into the office as well. And then my husband will usually pick up the kids from school, start the homework and snack time and the early dinner preparation. I'll come home and we kind of eat quickly together, and then they're off to sports, sometimes more homework afterwards. And it seems like after athletics, they always need like a second dinner. Like 7:30, they're all ravished and eating again, but that's okay.
That's a very busy day, and somehow you found time to write a book. You're a published author. You have written a fictional children's book called The Capture of Clementine. Now, the book is already in its second edition and has achieved an international audience with international sales and has been nominated for several awards. What motivated you to write a children's book?
I think it stems from my love to learn, because as I was mentioning, I always want to learn more, to do more, but I also love to teach. And I love to teach children and see that light bulb go on in their eyes, that like aha moment in their little child brains. So I think pairing dental health with education, and then, you know, in the Clementine story, there's that dusting of magic. I love all things magical. So fun for me. Every time the Tooth Fairy comes to our house, it's a big deal. So I think combining my love of education and teaching, I love to write, and then adding in that magical Tooth Fairy element, this was like the perfect book. I felt like it was meant for me to put out there.
The main character of the book is Clementine. Who is Clementine?
Well, technically, Clementine is a tooth fairy, and according to this story, there are many tooth fairies, and she was assigned to this particular family in the book. But I also think she's probably my alter ego, because so much of what Clementine says in the book, I have said to my own patients and children many, many times before, which is where a lot of the dialogue actually came from.
Now, your book has an international audience, and you have sold a significant number of copies outside the United States. Why do you think stories about the Tooth Fairy are so popular internationally?
You know, that's quite interesting to me as well. I was looking at my European sales stats and kind of wondering the same thing. But I mean, they have, for instance, we were in Scotland last year, and the unicorn is their national animal. And they have large statues of Kelpies, which is also a magical creature. And everybody comes to visit the Kelpies. And they have fairies. So I don't know. Maybe it's a fun, magical story. There could be a pocket of dentists or orthodontists in Europe that are really enjoying it and distributing it to patients. So I'm not really quite sure how the sales have been going in Europe, but I'm excited about it. It's great.
In your book, Clementine teaches good dental health and good nutrition. For all the parents listening to us today, at what age should a child make his or her first trip to the dentist? And why is it important to have even baby teeth checked by a dentist?
That is a great question. I think that's the million-dollar question because all parents want to know why does this even matter? They're baby teeth. But the general recommendation is by the age of one, your child should see a pediatric dentist. And some general dentists will see children as well. But there are special techniques that pediatric dentists can use to help a child feel very comfortable. And that's kind of the goal in early childhood is just to get the child used to somebody looking at their teeth, counting their teeth. It's not at all like an adult going to the dentist. They try to keep it really simple. But the dentist can also identify issues like if parents are giving their babies juice in a bottle regularly, there's something called bottle rot, which is where kids fall asleep with a juice-filled bottle, sometimes even milk in their mouth, and it causes rampant decay or rampant caries. So dentists can identify this in babies and sometimes at a young age to prevent further damage. So it's really about prevention.
Now, you've done a number of book readings in the community in which you dress up as the Clementine character, wearing a yellow dress, a set of wings, and a pair of goggles, just like Clementine does in the book. And you mentioned earlier she may be your alter ego. How have the children responded to your book reading as the Clementine character?
Oh, the kids absolutely love it. They genuinely pay attention to me when I'm reading a story. And I know, children's attention spans are short, and I feel like they're getting shorter and shorter as the years go on with social media. But I'm amazed and honored at how well I can hold children's attention when I'm fully dressed as Clementine reading this book. We've had an instance. So last year, I did a very large field trip for the Kenosha Unified School kids, and about 250 kids came to hear me read and do a dental talk. And during my presentation, two children pulled out their own baby teeth. They wiggled them out. They must have been loose to start with. It was hilarious because afterwards they came running up to me saying, "Do you have a treasure box? Do you have the tooth box? I pulled out my tooth." And I didn't have anything. I didn't have cotton rolls. I didn't have gauze. I was not anticipating children taking out their own teeth for Clementine the Tooth Fairy during this presentation. I mean, I've received hugs from children. They'll ask me to sign their books. So it's really heartwarming. I absolutely love it.
And it really means you're reaching. You're teaching at Marquette. You're teaching children good dental health and good nutrition. So you're actually reaching everybody, Dr. Wright.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where can our listeners purchase your new book?
It is available online at Barnes and Noble and Amazon. It is available in a few independent bookstores. So Blue House Books in Kenosha, Wisconsin is an adorable bookstore downtown Kenosha. Grandma's Toy Box in Eagle River, that's in northern Wisconsin. And there's some other major book retailers where you can also find The Capture of Clementine.
Today, I'm speaking again with Dr. Jane Wright, a board-certified orthodontist and author of the new children's book, The Capture of Clementine. Dr. Wright, February is Children's Dental Health Month. You are again doing a number of dental education events for grade school students and teachers of the local school district in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Tell us about the importance of these events for the children, their parents, and the community.
Yeah, this is a very important outreach program. So February, I mean, we're trying to teach dental education to children all year long. I'm constantly talking about it in my own office, as is my staff. But February is really highlighting National Children's Dental Health Month, and it gives us an opportunity and kind of a platform to help out and go into the community, go into schools, and educate children. So I can't possibly do this all by myself. Right now, I think we have about 1,400 kids that we're reaching this February in the Kenosha area, and we have a little dental presentation where we go over healthy foods to eat. We talk about proper brushing and flossing. Of course, Clementine makes an appearance. We usually read the book to them. We pass out toothbrushes and a little coloring sheet from the American Dental Association. But the big thing is educating children how to care for their own teeth and their own mouth. Because if children get dental decay at a young age, not only is it painful, but they miss school. It can cause future crowding issues if they lose their baby teeth too early. And I think a lot of people, maybe you've even read this book, Outlive by Dr. Peter Attia. He talks about medicine 3.0, which is not being reactive to the disease, but being proactive and trying to prevent disease. My mission is dentistry 3.0, where I want to help people be proactive in preventing dental decay, caring for their own mouths, instead of being reactive and just dealing with the fillings and the decay and the issues once they've already arisen.
The last time we talked and you were on this show, you said coffee gets you out of bed in the morning. Is it still coffee or is it something else that gets you out of bed in the morning?
Yes, I think, I mean, it's still coffee, but it's also the possibility of what the day holds. I kind of mentioned that I find a lot of joy out of being productive. I'm a morning person, and so that combination of just being ready to kind of carpe diem, get up and seize the day, and I look forward to all the things that I'm going to do that day, but I definitely have my morning cups of coffee, more than one.
Now, the last time we talked and you were on the show, you said one way you create a positive impact in the world was to smile. And you do have a very beautiful, inviting smile. What is one other thing you do on a daily basis that creates a positive impact in the world besides smiling?
Well, I can expand on the smiling comment a little bit because smiling at strangers and people you know triggers them to smile in response, and that triggers dopamine and serotonin, which instantly makes the smiler feel good. It also confirms, I see you. And I think in a world of social media and increased feelings of isolation, especially after the pandemic and how much time we're all spending on our phones now, the human-to-human recognition really does make a difference. And it's so simple. I think just making eye contact and smiling at people, whether it's your own children, your own family, or just strangers, that human-to-human contact is just so important right now. So we're not all just staring at our devices or staring at a screen.
That's a very important point because recognizing another human being, just engaging with them that way, something as simple as a smile, just like you said, is so important these days.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Wright, how can people find you and contact you? What are your website and social media identifier?
I do have a YouTube channel, which is new since we last spoke. It's at Tooth Fairy Clementine. I'm on Instagram, and my handle is Dr. Jane underscore Wright. I'm on LinkedIn as Jane Wright, and my office website is CrawfordOrtho.com.
Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know about you or your new book?
Well, I was kind of reflecting on this. I thought about the signs that I have hanging around my house, and I don't have a lot of signs. I don't have one that says blessed or welcome to this home or anything like that. I have two signs hanging in my house. One says work hard and be kind, and the other one says brush and floss. And I think that those are kind of the things, we all hang our hats on in our household. If we had some core values in our home, it would be work hard and be kind and brush and floss. But if I had to add to that, I would say, never stop learning and pick up a copy of The Capture of Clementine because it really is a cute, magical story. It's teaching prevention and just kind of self-care of your teeth,
We
too.
have been speaking again with Dr. Jane Wright, board-certified orthodontist and author of the new children's book, The Capture of Clementine. It was a pleasure to speak with you again today, Dr. Wright. Thank you for being on the show again.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Lesovich. This was wonderful.
Till next time, Dr. Stephen Lesovich, out there on the edge of everything.
You have been listening to Out There on the Edge of Everything, the show that examines, helps you understand, and effectively deal with the interesting edges of life. For more information on your host, Dr. Stephen Lesovich, please visit slesovich.com. For more information on prior and future shows, please visit coconutavenueradio.net. This is the Coconut Avenue Radio and Podcast Network.